Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see Man Nation.
Shot No Shot brought to you by the awesome people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download their updated app and use this promo code. Take that for two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Play along, have same-game parlays, and have fun with us each and every day. Again, the promo code is Take That. Good morning, Shay.
Good morning, fellas. How are we?
Good.
We're doing very well.
I am in an excellent mood on this Monday morning. Beautiful weather outside. My team is in the Eastern Conference Finals again.
Yeah.
By the way, did you see, this is the craziest stat. The Boston Celtics are going to their 37th Eastern Conference Finals. They have now played in exactly half the Eastern Conference Finals ever.
Well, yeah, the league is based on the Lakers and the Celtics. It starts there, correct? That the whole league is based on the success of the Celtics and Lakers.
What about
and then everything
the Knicks,
in between?
If you go want to go way back, the Knicks were always a big, big thing.
What? 1973?
Well, are you serious? You're going back 40 years to the Lakers and Celtics.
The league is built on those two teams. It's not built on the Knicks.
I think you could argue that the Bulls dynasty holds more recent legacy weight than the Celtics have the past 30 years.
That's incorrect.
I mean, I know that it's like the bigger historical team, but the Bulls had this run of six in the 90s. That's like the defining decade, really, for me, of like coming up in basketball. It was Jordan.
Well, you're a young man. But when you're old like me and Cap, we know that from the beginning, the Lakers and the Celtics are the pillars of the NBA, those two teams.
Correct.
That's it. I mean, the Bulls championship, their dynasty, the Pistons in there, the little Rockets, and that's great. But ultimately, it's about those two teams. The league is built on the East Coast and the West Coast, those two teams. And so for your Celtics, I mean, congratulations. I'm not surprised, actually, because somehow, some way, Brad Stevens can do it, but Danny Ainge could not. So this is good for them. Ainge had his struggles in the front office.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Is he still like a consultant? Is he like the John Paxson of the Celtics now?
No,
he was with Utah.
With the Jazz.
That's
front
right.
office.
He left.
He and Dwayne Wade.
Correct.
He had to go out west to Utah and be with his people.
I knew Dwayne Wade was at the Jazz, and I'm like, that's such a weird fit. So weird.
Think about the athletes that should have had the opportunity to have ownership and could not in the 90s. You and I have covered this. Walter Payton, Jordan after he retired. People thought he should be with the Bulls organization. But now, it's LeBron and KD, these guys, they're just sticking their beak in ownership, getting their piece of the pie.
That's it.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I want to be up there.
Sure. Nothing wrong with that.
That's it.
All right, Shay, what do you have?
All right, gentlemen, let's get to Shot or No Shot. I want to stick with the NBA to start because we're talking about it already. And Cap may have just altered the context of this question with his little nugget about Lonzo Ball's knee. Mm. Zach LaVine's impending free agency is the rumor mill going. And adding to it is the confirmation of a report that he will undergo an arthroscopic surgery on his left knee in the coming weeks. His name has now been brought up in trade rumors for aging stars such as Anthony Davis or malcontents like Kyrie Irving, who may be out of favor in Brooklyn. My question is this, shot or no shot, not necessarily for one of those two players, but signing and trading Zach LaVine is the best path forward for the Bulls.
That's a no shot because I don't know the other side of that deal.
Well, then I could answer just like you, but I'll say shot, but I got to know what I'm getting back. You tell me Boston calls and says, we want Zach, we'll give you Jason Tatum. Yeah, I'll carry him there. Hoodie and I will walk from here to Boston and drop him off.
Right.
So I don't know what that looks like. And I got to know what that surgery shows. Do they go in there with the scope and go, oh, God, we didn't see this on the MRI. Oh, God, he's got an arthritic knee. You got big troubles here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that. They may come in and go, yeah, we got a little chip out. You're good. Great, let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
The big problem that the Bulls are facing is until they have clarity on the Lonzo Ball question, are they going to use the 18th pick to draft a point guard? Are they going to take their remaining cap space that they have with the mid-level exception and go get a veteran point guard? like Phoenix did 2 years ago when they signed Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten them, you know, a lot of success, but no championship. They have to have a point guard. And if Lonzo Ball is not healthy, that it begins right there.
It's urgent, yeah.
You must have a floor leader or you are not going anywhere.
Well, until I know the other side of that deal, Shay, then that's a no shot. Like, no, it's sign and trade, and then what do the Bulls get in return? See, without Zach LaVine, and if you're just getting some young player or you're getting some draft picks, then the Bulls are the Knicks. That's not good enough.
Let me adjust the question, and I'll add two pieces. This is just total speculation. I saw this in an article this morning. I thought initially it sounded ridiculous, yeah. But let me offer this to you. You can get back from Zach LaVine, Tobias Harris, and Tyrese Maxey.
That's a no shot. Where am I going with that? I got a 32-year-old DeMar DeRozan, and I don't even know if you're going to get the same production next year as you had this year. You got Vucevic, and then what? I don't know if Lonzo Ball's healthy. No. I'm not trying to go backwards. I'm trying to move forward. So that's a no shot.
I can't answer that off the top of my head because I haven't studied Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey enough.
Hold on a second. You don't need to study Tobias Harris. You don't need to study him.
I think Tobias Harris you're like taking on as a casualty. The real find there is Tyrese Maxey.
It's a nice little player. Sure. He was the third best player, I think, at times on the floor for Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's 29 years, almost 30 years of age. He played 73 games, so he stayed healthy. He gave you 17 points, 7 rebounds, and 3.5 assists.
You don't need to study Tobias Harris, though. That's just a nice glue. He's a good glue guy. You're a third or fourth option. It's good to have him on the team, but you're trying to get past Milwaukee, Boston, and Miami. You can't do it with that.
Tyrese Maxey gave you 17.5, 3-4. Ability to shoot the basketball.
He's a nice player.
He's a nice player.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm getting two growing players. Are either one of them as good as Zach? No.
You're getting probably the same production. I need to get better than the Heat, Boston, and Milwaukee.
Like Tyrese Maxey this year, he improved his three-point shooting. This year, he doesn't take a ton. He takes 4 shots a game from three. He shot 42.7%. A year ago, he shot 30%.
It's just pieces. The league is built on
star power.
Superstar power. Superstar power. Difference-making power.
No, I probably would not do that.
Shay.
All right, let's get to the Bears. The first edition of NBC Sports NFL Power Rankings have been released ahead of OTAs. I know we love a good power ranking.
Yes.
The Chicago Bears checked in at 26th overall, one place ahead of division rival Detroit. The article did say at 26th, the Bears, there are many unknowns surrounding the 2022 Bears, but the one thing I'm pretty confident in, Justin Fields is a franchise QB. That's the most critical piece to any rebuild. So shot or no shot, if Justin Fields goes out this year and proves he is a franchise quarterback, the Bears are better than 26th in the NFL.
Oh, that's a shot. Yeah, better than 26th. Yes. I'm very skittish on the franchise quarterback label until you see him for a full complement of games.
Agreed.
I know we live in a black and white world, Cap, where it's like he's the best or the worst. But I think there has to be a keen eye on evaluation for an entire season or two before he start talking about franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with Hoodie. I would say you said no. How did you answer the question?
Is it? It'd be a shot if he's better than that. Yeah.
It's a shot. Now, did you see Sporting News just came out with their preseason power rankings? Oh. They were 26 on ESPN. Where do you think Sporting News has them?
You got the magazine? Show me.
Yeah, Dave Kindred.
Wait, I was going to say, the Sporting News. Right. Show me the old magazine. You got it there?
No.
88? What year was it?
What? 86.
Pull it out. Let me see.
Take the newsprint off your hands after reading it.
Sporting News power rankings. Where would you guys guess they had the Chicago Bear?
21st.
24th?
JR?
30.
32. Dead last.
Wow.
Not that bad.
That's not correct. No. The Texans are way worse.
No, they're not that bad. And you'll see it when the Bears beat the Texans, 31st. Take that.
Okay, 31.
Well, they're not that bad. When you saw that, you had to say, well, that's not true, right? They're not the worst team in the NFL. Don't do that.
They're not good.
They're not the worst team in the NFL.
Okay,
the
hold
Bears?
On. Hold on a second. Hoodie, if you were going to separate teams into tiers, right? You know how they do that? You do that with fantasy,
oh,
right?
Oh, I love the tiers.
You group the tiers together.
We're in the bottom
tier. They're in the bottom tier.
But not last place. We're not the worst team in the NFL.
I don't even think they're in the bottom tier. I think they're in the tier above the bottom, and the bottom tier is Houston.
And then who else?
Jacksonville.
I don't think Jacksonville's down there anymore.
Jacksonville, actually, I think, should be a vastly improved team.
That means
Washington thinks they're going to win this year.
When Cap says that Jacksonville is a vastly improved team, he has the over in the win total. That's all that means.
Look at that smile you just had.
Because there's no real analysis there. It's just I have them over. They're going to be vastly improved. I hope I can cash the ticket. Take that. That's all that is.
So what?
There's no real analysis there.
6 wins? What are you looking at? 6.5 is the bottom tier? Is that what you say that would be?
Well, we took the...
I would say 5 and less.
I said 7 when we went over the schedule on Thursday.
Yes.
And so that would be over the 6.5 that we've seen everywhere else. Okay, so... Yes, are they the bottom tier? Yes. Does it mean that they're the worst team in the NFL? I know that you have a ticket that says under for the Bears.
Correct.
I understand that.
Under 7.
I understand. I think you might be right on that. You may be right. But the worst team, no shot.
Not far.
Shay.
All right, let's get to Drew Brees because he is out at NBC, and he says he may play football again. This is his tweet. Despite speculation from media about my future this fall, I'm currently undecided. I may work for NBC. I may play football again. I may focus on business and philanthropy. I may train for the pickleball tour, senior golf tour, coach my kids, or all of the above. I'll let you know. My question narrows this down very simply. Shot or no shot, Drew Brees will return to the NFL.
That's a shot. Absolute shot. You don't throw that out there, that little nugget, like a little chum in the water, and not expect the Sharks to come get it. Yes, he's absolutely thinking about it. Why? I don't know, but that's his life, not mine.
You know why? You know why.
Money?
Money, of course. And anytime you have a question about anything, look at the money first. Follow the money.
I don't think it's the money. The money will come with it. I think... He really? Truly is bored to death doing commercials and being on TV. That's not him.
Well, look at Tom Brady. Tom Brady took like 3 days off of football, and then he's like, I'm going right back to football, and I'm signing an extension with Fox because I can't stand being at home.
I love Fox having FU money to the point where you don't know if Tom Brady is Joe Montana or Tony Romo on the mic. You have no idea. Usually when you're that great, you're not very good behind the mic.
37.5 a year for 10 years.
Is that not true? When you're great, you're usually not very good behind the mic.
Right.
He was looking at you, Isaiah Thomas.
He was horrible.
He was looking at you, Magic Johnson. He was looking at you, Joe Montana. Like, usually that doesn't work in that spot.
312-332-3776. Ever since dubbing the Cubs a civic embarrassment, they've taken 2 straight series from winning teams. That's next. Get those tongs ready, baby. Weber's new Genesis Gas Grill and Weber have crafted the perfect outdoor kitchen collection.
Yeah, they I heard
crafted
that.
They
crafted it.
Chicago.
We can start that number over, Cap. Let's go.
I couldn't see it.
They crafted what?
I couldn't read it. My glasses got foggy on me. I couldn't see. I'm like, oh, God.
Great day for you, Cap.
I can't see the spot.
Now tell me what you crafted. I'm from Pialatine.
The outdoor kitchen collection.
Yeah.
The biggest grilling innovation in decades. The newly designed Genesis is full of savory features for more space, precision, and time to deliver the ultimate culinary experience. If you want to take your grill game to the next level, the new Genesis can be combined with the new Weber-crafted outdoor kitchen collection. See the new Weber Genesis gas grill and Weber-crafted outdoor kitchens for yourself at Apt. ABT, pleasing people since 1936. Wow.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
1-2. Swung on and trailed to deep left center. That ball is going to be off the wall. Wisdom has a stand-up double. Schwindel lines one into right field to base hit. Wisdom's going to score. Here he comes to the plate, and the Cubs lead 3-2.
Pat Hughes on the Marquee Network. Thank you for the highlight. Cubs take 2 of 3 in Arizona. They take 2 of 3 in San Diego and could have won all six. Like, they battled. It wasn't like they got steamrollered.
So you're saying I have to do all 9 here on TV, huh?
That's correct, Pat.
Okay. 2-2 to Contreras. Fouled away.
Pat! No Zach to help you. Here we go.
I just told JR I'd be mistaken for thinking he was asleep on those calls.
No, listen, man.
Wow.
Here's the thing. He just wants to call interesting baseball. He's tired of losses.
He is.
Can understand why, right?
He's like, oh, God.
He just wants to be excited about good Cub baseball. And you beat the Bob Brenlies. You beat the Arizona Diamondbacks.
You did.
So how about that?
How about Justin Steele yesterday? 6 innings, 10 punch-outs.
Justin Steele.
3 hits.
And sex appeal.
He was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And Rowan Wick Saturday and Sunday locking it down.
Mm-hmm.
And the hit by Schwindy City. He had 2 hits yesterday. Wisdom, a home run, a solo, and a double. Scored the game-winning run.
Yeah.
And then Schwindel with that little check swing, punch it just over the first baseman's head down the right field line. That's Cubs right. Take the lead.
That's right.
It was fun to watch. I'm not delusional enough to think they're going to make any kind of run.
Why?
They're not good enough.
Okay. This team will be 500 before you know it. Just understand. They're going to play the Pirate next. Okay.
Where do they play the Pirate?
At Wrigley Field.
Okay. They just lost 3 of 4 to the Pirate, like, 3.5 weeks ago.
That's right. Sweet revenge. Here we go. The Cubs. And it starts tonight with Wade Miley.
Oh, God.
Who? So it's Brian Hayes. And by the way, yes, ladies and gentlemen, you are old enough to remember Charlie Hayes. That's his kid, Brian Hayes.
He's good.
He is good. Charlie Hayes' kid is really good.
Like, can we start drafting for all the Chicago teams? Can we please start drafting the offspring of really good players?
You know what? That's just as good as anything else you get in the draft. I like a second-generation ball player.
Yes.
Sure, absolutely.
There's a bunch of them out there.
That's as good as just any random draft pick. Like, hey, my scout saw this guy. Yeah, but what's his background? Yeah, he's a good ball player. Did his dad play? Nah, not really. Yeah, but hey, here's Brian Hayes. He grew up in a baseball family. There might be a connection there.
Yeah, there might have been a quarterback by the name of Mahomes whose dad was an athlete.
Right. But do you look at the dad and say, I can't draft the kid because his dad was just middle of the road?
Right.
It was Pat Mahomes. I don't know. I would try my luck that way. I enjoy that.
Right.
Blue Jays got plenty of them. You got Bo Bichette on the team.
Kevin Biggio.
That's ridiculous.
Little Vlad.
Vladdy Guerrero Jr.
He's one of the stars of tomorrow.
He's got so much power.
Who's the kid on Kansas City we're going to watch tonight? Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
There's another one.
I would say yes. If you put my feet to the fire, we'll talk to Jesse about this coming up. I don't mind the second generation ball player. Here's a question. If the ball player sucked, would you still take the kid?
Yes.
Just because he grew up in a baseball family.
Because you don't suck if you make the big leagues. You may play sucky in the big leagues,
yeah.
But there's a difference. To get to the big leagues, like, that's one of the things that drive me crazy about fans that say, that guy sucks. He actually doesn't. He's in the pros.
Yeah.
You got to be amazing to get to the pros.
Well, listen, you said it, I've said it too. We've all said it. You see a ball player and say, that guy sucks because that player underachieves. He doesn't play well for your team.
Correct.
Or didn't help your parlay.
Correct.
I mean, it's just part of us as fans. We just say those things.
Correct.
No, you're right. The player actually doesn't suck, but, you know.
Right.
But we get frustrated. Wander Franco, Fernando Tatis Jr., plenty of second-generation ball players.
Wander Franco.
Yeah.
That's Julio Franco's kid?
More than likely.
No way.
I mean, Franco's,
I would have known that.
Franco's no
way. I don't believe so.
Is it Matt Franco's kid from the Cubs? Remember him?
No, it's...
Wander Franco's father is Wander Franco.
Yeah. Okay.
Never heard of him.
Yeah, Franco.
That goes to Hoodie's point. He talked about last week off-air how if your father didn't play Major League Baseball or the professional sport, you can't wear Junior on your jersey.
That's right.
Why? It's a family name. My family.
Juan Soto, the same thing. Another second-generation ball player.
Who, Mario Soto's kid?
That's right.
No way.
That's right.
He's amazing. But I would think if you're sitting in the draft room.
I don't know that for sure.
Like, you could literally pull up the articles in any draft. We never expected him to be there when we were picking. Mm-hmm. He was at the top of our board. Oh, he has all the intangibles. His makeup's incredible. You could literally... I could save the newspaper industry for all that writing they do.
Mm-hmm.
Just take the same article and change the names. Have an editor just change the name, Bear... Remember when the Bulls got Bobby Portis?
Yeah.
We never, in all our mock drafts, ever thought he'd be there at 22.
Of course, they always, yeah.
And then the next year, we never thought mm-hmm. that guy was going to slide to 7.
Right.
Just change the number and the player. Same thing. Or when they write the training camp stuff. Oh, Bob is in the best shape of his life. Okay, then why was he a fat ass coming in?
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Every year. He gained 15 pounds of muscle in the offseason. He dedicated himself to a weight program. Well, then why wasn't he dedicated? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
It's the same nonsense year after year.
So watch your Cubs now. They're going to turn it around. You take on Pittsburgh, and then Arizona, and then the woebegone Cincinnati Reds.
I know. No, that wasn't the word. I used the word the other day, and someone sent a tweet
at who
at
you?
Unfiltered.
Oh, what
and
was it?
Said moribund. That was your word, and I gave you credit on the show, as my partner says, the moribund Cubs.
That's right. That's
a
right.
Great word.
But the schedule's gotten softer for you now, Cap. You can make that run.
That's what Randy Merkin keeps saying. Yeah. Every time I talk to the guy, he's like, "Hey, the schedule gets easier for the Cubs. We can make a run. You're 13-20." You got to play like 600 baseball just to sniff a wild card spot.
So they get Pittsburgh for 3 and then Arizona for 4, all at the confines.
Yes. Now keep in mind, you know, Pittsburgh's going to be fired up here after winning 1-0. And how many hits did the Pirates have yesterday?
Zero. Sixth time in Major League history, a team has been no hit. And won the ball game.
Now, the White Sox are in that category, are they not?
1990.
With Andy Hawkins?
That's correct.
Comiskey Park?
Correct.
Yeah.
Against the Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a crazy stat.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how'd your team do? They won. Wow, what? They didn't get any hits.
3-base error, 4-base error down the left field line at Comiskey Park, and the Sox won that game against Andy Hawkins, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's what happened.
I believe you're correct.
No hits, it was an error. JR, do you remember this down the left field line? It was, and the Sox won that game.
There's JR actually engineering the remote out there for that game.
Yes, with a movie projector.
Yeah.
July 1st, 1990. There's actually an article on ESPN.com that ranks all of the no-hitter losses in where they rank in worst of all time. So, yes.
There's only 6 of them. Like, they're all the worst of all time.
That is an amazing stat.
When you can win a game without having an actual base hit recorded.
Not one hit yesterday, and the Reds lose. They threw a no-hitter.
Do you know who? It says right here, Mike Blowers bobbled a hard grounder hit by a young outfielder named Sammy Sosa.
The
flying
Panther.
Down the line that could have been ruled a hit, but it was an error.
Ah, the Panther. He was great.
He was. Remember how skinny he was?
I still suggest to Jerry Reinsdorf to bring Sosa into the Sox fold.
That'd be hilarious.
Cubs don't want you? Come on over. We remember you. Bring the gold chain.
Be an ambassador.
That'd be so great. Oh, the Panthers back on the south side. God, he never... I mean, he didn't do this well as a Cub, but boy, the cutoff man was a rumor for Sammy Sosa.
It was.
Holy cow.
But he used to have a cannon of an arm.
Yeah, but it does no good throwing it to the third base dugout and letting two runs score. That was him as a Sox. I used to see that all the time. But he did it as a Cub, too, though, right?
Bring Sammy home, Cubs. Yes. Bring him home. He deserves his day. Jesse Rogers talks baseball with us next.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
Jesse Rogers, he'll be in here co-hosting with Carm at noon today.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it. Afternoon show, Waddle and Sylvie at 2. And then we've got Bleck and Abdallah leading into White Sox baseball.
Taking on the Kansas City Royals.
That's right, at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. I've never seen a game in that stadium. Have you?
No, but that will change this year.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You leaving today, this afternoon?
I'll leave right now, if you like.
Jesse and I can talk hockey.
Yeah, sure.
Jesse, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Actually, it's a great stadium to watch a game. I love that stadium. I think I saw the Cubs and Royals, I don't know, 3 years ago when during Interleague. Mm-hmm. You'd love it, Cap. And then you get some barbecue beforehand, go to the game, you'll have a fun time.
Jesse, as always, brought to you by Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago. And, Jess, interesting weekend. We were talking earlier about the White Sox and Yankees. It had Bulls-Bucks vibes for me, in which the White Sox are at a certain level, but the Yankees are certainly at a different level. What stood out most about that series for you?
Yeah, that's a great description. It really is. I think you're right. And it kind of reminds me of last year. Like, the Sox are probably good enough to win this division. Now, they're 4-10 against the Central, so they've got to start beating up on the teams around them, and they probably will. But is there another level for them to get to be an elite team? And it does seem like that, at least right now. I will say, I think the Sox can pitch their way to a division title. They're deeper on the mound than I thought, and that's without Lance Lynn. Now, I say that after those first two games where they got rocked, but then Dallas Keuchel pitched well. I mean, Kopech was one of the stranger starts you ever see. He pitched a perfect game other than one inning where he walked four and threw a wild pitch. Really, really strange. But that lineup is so dangerous. It's so dangerous, and they take their walks. I'm talking about the Yankees. The White Sox do not. If there's anything that's disappointing right now about the Sox, it's exactly that. They're way too aggressive. Tony talked about it after the game. They are dead last by a mile in walks. I don't know many World Series winning teams that are that bad in terms of plate discipline. Only two guys have more than 10 walks. No one else has more than six. It's Grandel, Abreu, and then no one with more than six. Luis Robert, as great as he is, his on-base percentage is .343. Okay, that's good. It's nowhere near the elite players in this league. So my takeaway is, especially after watching Cortez take them apart, they had no walks yesterday. They've got to be able to get on base a little bit more. It's amazing what Tim Anderson has done because he hits. He doesn't walk. But I don't no complaints about Tim Anderson. But the rest of the lineup has to get on base more.
I know that everybody's freaked out about the Sox. The Sox fans I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. My partner has his heart right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my team. I don't dislike them. I know that offends Cubs fans. Too bad. I look at this team with a critical eye, without my heart out there, some of my money sometimes, and I look at them and feel like it's May 16th. You don't have Lynn back. Vaughn is just getting back from a thumb injury that he said it was robbing his ability to turn and swing hard at a baseball. You've had COVID issues. You've got Aloy Stott. Like, I think this is a really, really good team. If the playoffs started today, no, they're not in a good spot. They don't start for 5 months. Am I being wrong in that analysis?
I don't think so because, look, you could take the glasses half full approach and say, look, they're 16-17 while leading the world in errors, while having the least walks. Now, look, these things have to change, and that's what you're saying. There's plenty of time for them to change. Will they change? Not sure, right? We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball. But that's what I'm saying. But they're good enough to make the playoffs in that division. I mean, they're as good as the Twins. Let's face it. This bad, and they're three games out. They're not going to – they were 12 over against the Central last year. They're not going to finish, I don't think, six under or worse against the Central. If they do, then we're all wrong. So, yes, but it's going back to what Jay Hood said. You know, are they just good enough to win this division? But then again, you know, Sylvie even texted me yesterday. Look, the Braves were crap last year at this time, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't look good even going into the playoffs. They win the World Series. So it does come back to just getting in. And I think your point is right, Cap. They can get in even with this roster, which is a little flawed. You know, I had someone tweet at me, and we've talked about this, in all caps. You know, when you get that all caps tweet, you know, Rick Hahn forgot about the last part of the rebuild, which, of course, is, and this is more probably Reinsdorf than Hahn, pushing your chips in and signing John Lester or signing, you know, what you thought was a great player in Jason Hayward, spending big in that last moment of the rebuild. They didn't do that this offseason. They spent a little bit the previous offseason on Liam Hendricks. They extended Lance Lynn, so they did spend a little bit, you know what I mean? But they didn't go all in, and that's something I think Sox fans can complain about. I've said it. Look, top seven payroll's nice, but top three or four is even better. And that would mean a couple extra great players, another left-handed slugger. They didn't do that, so now they have to grind their way to the playoffs again.
Jesse, could you update us on some of the injuries with the White Sox, starting with Jonathan Stever?
Jonathan Stever?
No, I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to ask me about Lucas Giolito.
Of course I was, but no, I just wanted to throw you the old curveball into the dirt. No,
yeah.
No, but there's a number of players and pitchers in particular that are out for the Sox.
Yeah, well, let's start with Lucas Giolito. He's going to pitch this week. I'm not exactly sure when. And that means you're a step closer. Lance Lynn is getting that much closer. He's been out throwing. I mean, once you Johnny Cueto is going to end up here probably this week. They have five games in 4 days. How about that storyline? This veteran, great veteran, going to join the White Sox. So I actually think they're going to be okay on the mound, especially if Keiko found a little something. I mean, that was a masterful performance against this team, this Yankees team, after what happened Thursday and Friday on the mound. I mean, 11 strikeouts, but then gets hit. Anyway, Giolito should be back from COVID this week. So I actually think they're deeper on the mound than I thought even 2 weeks ago. I kind of like the Cease Giolito, you know, Kopech situation. Now Kopech's got to mature, and you know you can't pitch five good innings. You got to have six good innings. Nestor Cortes pitched eight good innings, but so they're going to get a little bit healthier. Eloy's running. If you're asking about injuries, Lynn is throwing. So let's fast forward a month from now. Cross your fingers there isn't more injuries. Now you've got a full squad. And, you know, maybe by July, this is a first-place team, maybe even sooner than that. And we're talking about peaking in the second half, where last year they peaked in the first half. You can't have new injuries.
Let's talk about the Cubs. Justin Steele, 10 punch-outs yesterday. I called them a civic embarrassment 2 weeks ago. They went on and won two in San Diego, could have swept if Schwindel's ball gets out at the wall. They could have swept Arizona. They won two of three. Are they trending in the right direction, or it was a momentary blip?
No, I think it's more of a blip, but I don't think Jonathan's wrong. They could inch their way towards 500. That's possible. Pittsburgh's 15-19. You got to get past them first. You know, the Cubs are 13-20. Like, they're all in the same group right now. They're a scrappy team. I think I've been saying that for a couple months now. They're kind of a scrappy team, but I don't think there's anything really there other than some individual moments that you can build on. Justin Steele's a guy you want to build on. I mean, Wilson Contreras, I know you've talked about it. He's having a great season. He's hitting everything hard. He's going to the opposite field. Suzuki, it seems like he's coming out of it a little bit here and there. Like, there's individual moments, but as a team, we've talked about it, there's not enough power. They're probably not deep enough on the starting staff. I mean, they had this little run without Stroman Robertson. You know, like, there's something there to be maybe better than they've been, but I don't think it's anything more than maybe inching towards 500. But you're right. They lost 3 of 4 against the Pirates. I heard you say that before at home. Here's your chance to get a little revenge. Here's one stat for you bettors out there. The Cubs are 5-15 at night and 8-5 during the day. That reminds me of the old Cub teams, you know, where they were pretty decent during the day. They're 10 under at night. They play four straight night games here and then three against the Diamondbacks. But that could be a blip. Who knows? I just don't think they're anything special, but they're probably better than their record you know, coming off that last homestand where they dropped five in a row, and they're probably a little bit better than even 13-20. That's the most I can say about it.
Jesse, we talk about the yin and yang when it comes to baseball. We talk about the Yankees against the White Sox, and now we're going to get the Pirates and the Cubs. From what you can tell from the Pirates' standpoint, like what is this every year? Like, I, as much as I like Hayes, which is going to be a guy for the future, probably one of the bright stars of the future, you know that when his contract's over, you might be going to a different team. So what is this Pirates outfit, man? They're just going to continue to lose, develop talent, and then trade them off or let them go someplace else? What's the point of being in business if you can't try to win at some point?
No, that's a great point. The Pirates are a team that was brought up during the lockout a lot by the Players Association, like what, basically saying what you're saying. What is this? What it is failed rebuilds. Not every rebuild works as much as the Cubs and the Astros worked, and the Sox are kind of working. You know, they haven't won a championship yet. The Pirates, you know, they traded, they made some bad trades, and it didn't work out. They traded Austin Meadows. They traded, they traded for Archer. Things didn't work out in some of their trades and draft picks, and so now you're in a perennial rebuild. That's what this is. Now, they think they have a little something going here, and they're a little bit better in the standings than anybody thought right now, but we'll see. Brian Hayes is signed up, so we'll see if he stays past one contract. But they're trying like a second or third rebuild, so to speak. And it's a great example of not every rebuild works. So don't just point at the Cubs or point at the Astros and say, look, this is what the formula should be, because it doesn't always work that way. So that's the most I can say about it, and that's why they're in this perennial, okay, we're going to trade our veterans for young players and try this again.
Jesse, appreciate all the knowledge. Have a great day. We'll see you down here.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, guys. Take care.
All right, take that. There is Jesse Rogers, brought to you by
the fine folks at Neighborhood Housing Services of Chicago.
We will take you through Warren Sapp laying out five rules for athletes to avoid trouble that he got from Tony Dungy. Next.
Take that.
For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches, plus their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, folks, don't forget spring trading. This is the brainchild of our boss, Danny Zetterman, the director of content. He jumbles up the lineups the three Wednesdays in May since we started last Wednesday. Hoodie was with Sylvie. I was with Carm, and this week the lineup has been jumbled, and I will be in the same time slot, ironically, this one, with Adam A. Abdallah, and then you will be working with Yurko 2-6.
That's correct.
And I believe Sylvie is working nights. Is it he and Bleck?
That's correct.
And that would leave Waddle and Carmen together from noon to two. Mm-hmm. So that will be a lot of fun. Spring trading this Wednesday, and then next Wednesday we'll complete this spring's run. It was a lot of fun last week as well. Warren Sapp has five rules for athletes to avoid trouble. He got them, though, from Tony Dungy, a former coach down in Tampa for him. And when you look at the rules, it makes a lot of sense, and Warren said, I haven't always obeyed them. Mm-hmm. Remember when he got in trouble at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I do.
Tony's five rules that he taught me. Out past 12 midnight, nothing good can happen. Driving 15 miles or more over the speed limit. Drugs and guns. Alcohol. Mm-hmm. And women you know too well or not well enough.
All right, let's break that down. Because it sounds like a father talking to his kids.
Correct.
So out past midnight. Well, you know, in some circles, the party doesn't start until after midnight. In some circles, right?
Correct.
Think like a boring party that starts at 9 and ends at 11.
Well, there are clubs, not that I'm out there, I'm too old for them, they don't even open till mm-hmm. like midnight.
That's correct.
Is that, I mean, have you been to these?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Shay, you're in this genre. JR, you're a music aficionado who likes to go out. Do you go to places that don't even open till 11 or 12?
I have, yes.
Those are called after hours. I was never a big fan. I like going home when the bar closes.
So, Hoodie, explain this to me. Are they allowed to have the alcohol license extend way later? Because isn't there a time limit on some bars have to be done serving booze by 1?
There are some like that in some places, yes. And others, well, there's no one looking around. I keep serving.
I know a couple 4 a.m. bars just, you know, on the outskirts of the city. They're open way late. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The only one I know of is Ties Till 4 over on, I think it's Ashland.
When I was growing up, there were these places. They were called After Hours, and they weren't bars. They were in, like, abandoned warehouses or places, and they would just set up, like, a makeshift bar. And mm-hmm. you would go there after the bars closed, so, like, 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Nothing good ever happened there. I never heard about anything good ever happening at any of these places.
You know, back in the days when I was dating Cap, you know, you got to, yeah, have to understand, you go to the club at 12. And then around 2 a.m. is that's when you lock in, right? That's usually, because why go there early? You want to make sure that the best come because, you know, there are women that will come there late, guys will come there late. And so around 2 a.m., that's when you start getting the numbers as the places start to close. So it actually is something at past midnight that you can get.
But there's a sweet spot, right, Hoodie? Because you don't want to be there too late because if you're there when the lights come on.
That's right.
Oh, you're there way too long.
That's right. That's right.
And then you see what you're, oh, no, I got to go.
Oh, my God. I got a flashback of me and Jason Goff in San Antonio. So then there is at Pat O'Brien. So then there is driving 15 miles an hour over the speed. Well, I mean, Cap, I mean, listen, you don't want to, but sometimes you want to keep up with traffic, don't you?
Correct.
So, I mean, do you really want to be the putt-putt going 55 in the, you know, in a 70? Want to go 60 and a 70? Yeah, you want to keep up with traffic, don't you?
Okay, but if you're in a 70, like I was on a highway last night, the speed limit was 70.
Yeah.
I set my cruise at 79.
Yeah. Yeah. No one's out there.
No.
You got to watch out for Roscoe there in the bushes, but otherwise you're fine.
Correct. I had Waze open, which tells you where police are.
I tried that a couple times, putting the cruise on 80 when it's really 70. I got 2 tickets. In Paw Paw, Michigan.
Why?
same city.
How to stay plate, man. You're like a beacon.
So, drugs and guns, well, no, you don't want to do that. Drugs and guns, that's not a good idea.
Correct.
Even if you are one of those guys that can carry, I'd rather not do that.
Not a good idea.
Alcohol? If you're in your own place, sure. Can't get a DUI on your own couch.
Or if you're going to go out, no one's saying there's anything wrong with going out.
Mm-hmm.
But before you ever have a drop, like we sit here, all these DUIs, before you ever have a drop, mm-hmm. like your judgment shouldn't be impaired.
Right. Right.
Hey, Hoodie, let's go out tonight, man.
Yeah.
I'm ready to go out and get after it. Okay. Who's driving? Do we have a designated driver or do we get an Uber? Or do we call a service like my friend Darman?
Yes.
Hey, Darman, we're going to go hit like 5 different clubs.
Right.
You're a pro athlete. You got the money. Got
to do that.
We're getting you for the night.
Women you know too well or not well enough. What does that mean?
Well, the one you know too well. You know there's something there.
Okay. That she's about drama?
Drama or what she's after.
Yeah.
You know, you just can't leave it alone.
Or not well enough.
Or some stranger. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
Okay, so who are you supposed to talk to? What female are you supposed to talk to when you're an athlete? If you can't do either one of those two.
You've got to be so careful.
Yeah?
I told you, there's a friend of mine who's a very well-known agent. His players all have to sign a contract that anybody that they bring home signs a release. I'm here on my own free will. And if he finds out you're having sex with someone who didn't sign it, he drops you as a client because he doesn't need the drama.
Smart.
White Sox dropped 3 of 4 to the Yankees. Why can't they beat good teams? 312-332-3776. Be back in 2 minutes.